Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Age of Heroes, Quest for Optimal Wellness, I'm proud to bring you Herculean Physique with Michael DeLucy of Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening and good evening to all of the listeners. It's great to be here.
I'm glad you're here as well, and I'm looking forward to the things you have to teach us tonight.
Well, I'd like to open the program, if I can, with our Declaration of Holistic Mind, which I feel very strongly can lead us to our divine consciousness, which is something we're all seeking at the end of the day, and I would like to open up with that if I can.
By all means, do so.
We here at Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts believe that our ultimate destiny is to get the duality of our minds to work as one. When left brain logical mind and right brain creative spiritual mind work together, new insights and better decision-making can lie ahead in every area of our lives. In terms of diet and longevity, this can also be a lifelong truth. Our goal, then, is to use logical mind in assessing the latest anti-aging and disease-fighting studies, then initiate creative mind in formulating our own personal program, both with natural supplementation and conventional medical support where appropriate. Our instincts will play the ultimate role in choosing which supplements and how many to be a part of our life extension program. This is where the wisdom of the hemispheres teachings become so exciting and is forever unfolding. The workings and concept of the two-chambered mind, we believe, should have been part of our educational system and spiritual doctrines throughout the world. Such are the endless possibilities of thinking out of both sides of the brain. We at Bold Spirits are committed to share the importance of these concepts through our humble ministry and the remainder of our lives. And that is the opening introduction from our Creative Health Manual, and I really enjoy sharing it with the listeners this evening.
Very powerfully said. And your ministry is for free, and it's been ongoing for years now.
Yes. As our counseling is absolutely free. Our integrative health counseling is free, and all they have to do is write to me at Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And we also have a free prayer ministry that we're very excited about. And we put every name on our list in white light because Jesus talked about the light and mentioned the light quite often throughout his own teaching ministry. And we believe light can be the white light, which all other colors of the spectrum emanate from, can be very powerful when used during prayer time. So we believe there is efficacy to it, and we love praying for people.
Awesome. And you have a prayer circle. You pray for people, and you imbue everything with the light, and people can reach you and request prayers. Is that not so?
Absolutely. And we put everything is energy, and everything is vibration. And we do believe that consciousness affects the vibratory field, if you will, that where is in everything and around everything. And it's the clay that the Creator has used and is using even now to create everything we're familiar with on this plane of existence. So we believe the atomic structure can be affected through thought. And we believe science that can validate that now. So we believe intention is everything. Intention can affect our lives in a very positive way. It's not always easy. This world brings a lot of challenges to us. But if we focus on the right intention and focus on the field of all creativity, we believe great things can happen.
I believe that as well. I believe that the mind should be cultivated as well as the body and, of course, the spirit as well. And I would say I devote more time to my mental and spiritual exercises than I do to my physical exercises at this point in my life.
Well, I think that's a very wise priority. And as a matter of fact, part of that is what I wanted to talk about next, if I can, because I was going through it. You may have a copy of this, but I was going through a course that I believe I may have sent one to you called Chi, the Internal
Yes.
Strength.
Yes.
By a very well-known bodybuilder back in the 70s, and from what I understand, a very nice person as well, by the name of Mike Dayton. He won Teenage Mr. America. He won the Ironman competition. He was Mr. America in 1976, and
mm-hmm.
he was known for his feats of strength, breaking handcuffs. I think he did 70 chin-ups in 1 minute, being phone books, breaking baseball bats, this kind of thing. And everything he did strength-wise, he had an impressive physique, and he was a bodybuilder. But that's not where he put his priority, in line with the point that you just made. His priority came from tapping into the internal strength, which he was originally introduced to through his karate training.
Mm-hmm.
And he did quite a bit of study on chi and ki and prana, which is all basically, as we know, it's basically the same thing as the internal energy, internal field, if you will, that we're blessed with. And he put out a very handsome course way back in that, during those years. And it's just been made available to the public once again, I would say, about the last 5 years. And it's available now on eBay. And it's just a terrific package. I would encourage anyone to invest in it. It's not all that expensive. And it covers all aspects of chi training, of some of the exercises that he indulges in and shares with others. Most of them are all isometric in nature. And
mm-hmm.
It's all about being into the inner core, the inner core, the inner energy core within us. And he describes any number of techniques to do that. He also has a great section on nutrition. It's extremely thorough. And it's well worth the investment. So it's called Chi, the Internal Strength, and comes in a beautiful binder. And I would encourage anyone to look into it. And it's very, very, it's just very complete in its teaching and in its sharing. And the wisdom is really worth the price. So I would encourage anyone. His name is Mike Dayton. And it's the Chi course, the Internal Strength. And it's now available on eBay. And I would encourage anyone to look into it. I'm glad I made the investment, and I think it should be a part of anyone's metaphysical or physical fitness library.
And I thank you for sending that to me. I'm going to be working on that aspect of optimal wellness next, and I've been contacting mm-hmm. authors so that we can interview them and go over the material that they have in their book.
Mm-hmm. One of your books is now available, am I right? One of your new books that you were working on, is that now available?
One of the new books that I was working on Alien Artifacts is now available. I just finished writing the introduction to one of our fellow hosts' books. And I'm working on a chapter for an anthology for a major publisher. And then I'm working for a chapter for an anthology in smaller press. So keep me busy with the writing.
That's exciting. That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
And the more writing we do and the more research we do, I think the more efficient and enthusiastic we become. So in our research, so I think that's great. That's wonderful. But I wanted to mention too that some of the exercises, probably more than some, that are contained within the Chi course, the Internal Strength, remind me very much of the Charles Atlas course.
Yes.
Many of them resemble what the exercises that Charles Atlas shared with us. So, again, I think all of these movements contribute to the finished physique as well as heightened consciousness, if you will. So I think it's definitely something worth researching and looking into.
Yes, most certainly so. I used to do my own key exercises. I learned very early on how to do work with energy, and I could move energy back and forth. With the neuropathy, though, it takes a lot longer than it used to take to, you know, summon the energy and to work with it. So I've been starting to do those exercises again daily. I'm not at a point where I'm happy with the results yet, but at least the process has started. And once that gets flowing, I'm going to start more serious energy work.
Well, I know that I had abandoned it for a while due to some, you know, personal challenges that I was experiencing. But I've just begun it as well, and I noticed that you really don't lose that connection once you begin some of the exercises. And some of the things that I do, I try to work with the white light, and I just imagine myself being enveloped with the white light from the top of my head. And at the same time, I'm imagining that those beams, two beams of white light, are touching my palms. My palms are up, petitioning the universe, if you will. And there's no question about it. I can still feel, I can still experience the sensations when I do it. My forehead, my palms, I imagine a white light enveloping my body, penetrating, passing through my body. And you can still feel it. I mean, if you give it a few minutes, a little bit of time, you feel it. You actually do feel the physical sensations of it. And I know this, anybody who's been practicing this for any length of time understands what I'm describing. So you never really lose it. The field of creativity is there, and we just have to make the efforts to tap into it and apply our best intentions to it.
I usually work with the light of Olympus, which is a golden white. It's very hard to describe, you know, but it's white, but it has like a golden sheen to it. And also with the color blue, which in theosophy is the color associated with Hercules. It's blue with white light. So I work with that energy as well. Occasionally work with other energies, but those are the primary two that I work with.
That sounds like that. And how long have you been doing that with those particular lights?
For years. I meditate not every single day, but almost every day. Just like I work out every day, but not sometimes I'll get like 5 or 6 workouts in a week instead of 7. With meditation, I meditate twice a day, when I'm getting up in the morning and then before I go to bed, when I'm in between. And what started me with meditation is the Silva mind method, which is an oldie but goodie. And I learned how to meditate by doing that. And then I add my variations to it. I say affirmations. I do visualizations. I called on various types of light and vibrations. I contemplate particular things. So it keeps me very busy. And I also work with my dreams at night. So, you know, I try to tap into the wisdom of my inner mind by working on dreams.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mike Dayton touches on the dream aspect of all of it in his course as well. He also worked with dreams, and I'm sure he still does in his own program. Dreams are very essential in terms of us being aware of what's happening. And, they're very essential in terms of the messages we're getting and what encompassing our lives, past, present, and in some cases future. So dreams, knowing what we're dreaming, being aware of our dreams, I think is very necessary.
Yeah, dreams contain insights that you don't normally get in the waking portion of your mind. Many times they're symbolic and they're very insightful. Yeah, so there's a poetry to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I like the points that he makes, and it's the point you just made as well, that fascinating as it was in terms of his feats of strength. I remember seeing him on the Merv Griffin show, breaking handcuffs, and it took him a while. And didn't look like he was going to do it. These were regulation handcuffs. But he did it. He did it. And it was amazing to watch. It was amazing to see, because it's just not an easy thing to do. But as he emphasized in his teachings, there was more involved than just physical strength. You know, I think the way I interpret his comments is that I think 70 to maybe 80% of this was mental, was chi power, if you will. And so it appears that's what he attributed his success to, and these feats of strength that he was involved in. But so I think the mind plays an enormous part in all of this, in our physical development, and those of us who seeking that classical physical look, if you will. And for so many years, the mind plays a very strong role in trying to develop a finished physique and a strong body.
And it's amazing how much the mind has to do with it. I remember back in the days when I used to lift heavy weights, and I used to go to the gym. I was stuck for the longest time, like trying to surpass the 300 barrier. I get like right next to it, but I just couldn't break the 300 barrier. Then one day I was talking while I was loading the dumbbells, and I did a few good bench presses. And then when I went to increase the weight, I noticed that I had just bench pressed 330 pounds. So that showed me that it was in my head, whatever couldn't get me past it. And then once I did it, 330 pounds, 300 pounds and up to 330 were no problem because I'd done it already. So whatever barrier I had inside my head. So it taught me how powerful the ideas inside our mind are and our limitations that we impose upon ourselves.
No question about it. And in this material life that we live in, this, of course, we're faced with the influence of those limitations each and every day. And that's why it's so important to be a researcher and to seek out our own golden fleece of vitality, if you will. That's what I like to call it, because at the end of the day, that's what it is, eternal golden fleece that we're seeking. And so I think it's really important to maintain that kind of inner strength and to study different techniques to enhance that inner strength. So you're so right. I mean, the mind plays such a critical part, especially in bodybuilding, weight training, and sports in general. But there's no telling what we can achieve when we make that mental, we focus on that mental attitude and make it the dominant force in our research and in our training.
And the golden fleece is a good symbol because it did. It revitalized. Some say it could bring you back from the dead, and it restored health. So it was a very potent symbol. In my visualizations that I do, I use the golden fleece sometimes. I wear the golden fleece in my mind's eye to help heal me of the things that ail me. And also, I think we spoke about this before, Jack Kirby's like outer space type of art, you know, that he did in Thor, Eternals, the New Gods. I imagine having a gym designed by Jack Kirby for Olympus, you know, so it looks very Kirby-esque, and I do exercises in those machines, you know, in my mind's eye. So I have like a mental routine that I do on these machines.
I think that's wonderful imagery.
It keeps you motivated, and it feels good imagining it, and your muscles tense up, and then you visualize them the way you like them. And because the mind is such an important force in bodybuilding, I consider those just as important as actually lifting the weights.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's great to personalize our journey as much as we can. The golden fleece is, I mean, among so many other things, some of the areas you just mentioned. I mean, it represents authority, kingship, and kingship over our own inner kingdom, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think it's excellent to use that imagery as a focal point, as a motivational factor to take us where we desire to go, if you will. So I think that's wonderful imagery. Yes, absolutely. And can enhance our forward motion in what we're trying to achieve.
And the Golden Fleece is a symbol of people putting aside their differences and working together to accomplish something, because the children of gods who were normally warring with each other, as well as the children of kings who were normally warring with each other, mixed in with the exceptional mortals, all got together to get the Golden Fleece, you know, which is one of the more powerful symbols in Greek mythology. So they put aside all their differences, like people later did in the Olympic Games, and worked together on a common purpose. And if it was competition, it was friendly competition.
Well, that's why I feel, and there's evidence to everything we're discussing in the physical world. But that's why I feel seeking, understanding holistic mind, and I think that's what you're describing here, is so vitally important to put a focus on holistic mind. And moving forward, because it's unity consciousness at the end of the day, and that's what I believe you're discussing and describing at this moment. Unity consciousness.
Yes.
And I think when we study mythology, when we study divinity in our lives and how it may play a part, we realize that at the end of the day, we're, as I used to say in metaphysics, we're all made of the same stuff.
Yes.
And the gods have made us of the same stuff. You know, I was listening to an astrophysicist the other day, and he's not a very spiritual person. And he was talking to someone, being interviewed by someone who was. And so he was talking about his doubts in terms of organized religion as we know it. He was very impressed by some of the mythologies of the world. He did talk about that. At the end of the conversation, though, he said something very interesting, which we already know. He said, if it means anything to you, he said, the elements that we're made of, we're constructed, that help to make everything we are physically, and the planet we live on, have also been found in outer space, on asteroids, on meteors, magnesium, zinc, have been found on meteors, asteroids have been, these elements have been discovered. The point he was making is, well, there we are again, that common clay, that bond. So even if you deny the existence of anything beyond the third dimension, that would give you pause. Because
yes.
Here we are, the elements that make up our bodies, the important minerals and what have you, have been found in outer space. So that's something to think about. It's something to think about.
Yes, it is. And the fact that matter becomes energy and energy becomes matter and everything's recycled. Mm-hmm. We're made of the same stuff, too. You know, we're made
absolutely.
Of stuff that's been around since the dawn of creation.
Absolutely. And I look at the atomic structure that way. I mean, that is God's clay, if you will. It's the atomic structure as we know it. And we know everything is vibration and everything is atoms. And that, to me, that was the Creator's clay, is the Creator's clay. And my God, everything is that's the beginning point. That's the starting point, if you will, for everything we know in terms of creation. If you look at it that way, the problem is, of course, we live in a society where science and spirituality have intentionally been existing in separate worlds. But if we look at it that way, we cannot help but see the connection there, that there is such a thing as creative design. And there is a clay that the Creator has used to manufacture everything we know and whatever it is that we have yet to discover, which is there's so much we don't know yet.
Yeah, I've always resonated with the myths, and that's what the myths tell us. The myths tell us that we were created and that our evolution has been guided. And it also tells us that blended in with us is a divine strain, you know, that we are partially divine. because the gods not only created humanity, but they intermingled with humanity and continue to do so if the stories that the UFO abductees tell us is true.
Well, that's the I think that's the exciting part too, that they, you know, they experience the mortality with us. They experience what it's like to be mortal on this plane, and all of the trials and tribulations, if you will, that we encounter. And that's throughout mythology and throughout religion. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
there's a connection there as well. And the fact that mythology really, when you step to stop and think about it, predates religion and has probably influenced most of the organized religions as we know it, and makes it even more intriguing, because the gods spoke to man long before any of these denominations were in existence.
Yes, there's a lot of stories, modern and ancient, and some that started out in ancient times and are still followed today, of people who found their divinity and then the wondrous things that they could do once they did.
Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to talk about too, by the way, in terms of training, if I can, is I've
sure.
been doing a lot of research on circuit training. And I've been putting it into practice myself. And, I mean, circuit training can definitely have its benefits. It's a form of body conditioning, I think. And it involves endurance training, resistance training, and high-intensity aerobics many times. And usually when a circuit is set up, it usually can be as many as 4 to 5 different exercises. But I think applying HIIT philosophy to circuit training, even if it's 1 day a week. I think 1 day a week would be a nice program to set that day apart to experiment with circuit training. I think it can have a great benefit in terms of muscular endurance as well as conditioning. So I've been experimenting with it, and I've been very happy with the results considering the time I've invested in it. So what I'd like to suggest in terms of circuit training is to set up perhaps just 3 exercises, 3 stations, mostly freehand, although weights can be used on the second or third. And I think light weights are essential in enhancing a cardio effect. And I've created some examples of this, if you will. So you can start off with a freehand squat for, say, 20 reps.
Uh-huh.
The second station might be a freehand squat combined with straight punches, so 1, 2, 3, 4 as an example. And the third station might be utilizing 10-pound plates for a set of dumbbell curls. I think the most benefit can be gained by ideally setting up a 3 exercise circuit, as opposed to, I know there's some that set up 4 or 5 stations, but I think a 3-station circuit is ideal for creating both conditioning and really getting the most out of this training technique. So if you start off with that as an example, for no weights, I mean, the weights are not necessary, in my opinion, to really
uh-huh.
benefit from this. But combining light weights in the system, I think, yes, can have an added advantage. But freehand squats, 20 reps, the second exercise would be freehand squats. And when you come up from the squat, you 1, 2, 3, 4 in terms of punching. And the third exercise would be utilizing 10-pound plates, 10-pound weights, rather, dumbbells, as it were, for maybe 15 or 20 reps. That would complete one circuit. What I'm sharing are just examples. You know, you can utilize your own creativity in terms of how you want to set these circuits up and what exercises can be performed. But a second circuit might be hands on hips in prayer position, marching in place for 30 reps. A second
mm-hmm.
station might be a squat for 20 punches and 10 reps. And a third station might be light dumbbell laterals. side laterals, an example, for 10 reps. But I think it really motivates your training routine. It really adds something different. And I found it to be very exciting to take one day a week out of your a week of training, apply some circuit training to it. And I think there's so many advantages to this type of training, both anaerobic and aerobic. And I just, utilizing my own creativity, what other circuits can I come up with? A third recommendation might be hands on hips, side bends for the obliques. Would be one rep and then move immediately into a squat and do 10 reps. That counts as one exercise. It would be one set of side obliques, move into squats, and then a third station might be hammer curls with light dumbbells, say 15 reps. And that would be a third circuit that you might want to try. And then I think after each circuit, I've tried to rest between 3 and 5 minutes. Because, of course, you're performing all of these exercises with no rest in between sets. So I think that this, both from an aerobic standpoint, a health standpoint, and creating a polished physique, I think this is a terrific training technique. And I think it's a lot of fun and is worth experimenting with.
I recently hurt my shoulder on the left side. Most of the pain is now gone. I've been doing like shoulder therapy exercises, but it's interfered with what I normally do with the weight. So what I've been doing is I've been doing something similar to circuits. I do with heavier weights. With the light weights, I'm still doing the shoulder till heavy weights on one side. On one side, I could do just about anything. On the other side, lifting a weight with 3 pounds is difficult. Like I could do it freehand, I could do 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds starts getting hard. So I got to build up the strength there. But I've been doing shrugs for the traps. Then I've been doing hammer curls for the arms. Then I've been doing calves and then squats. So it follows like from one exercise to the other. I do shrugs and calves, then I do hammer curls, then I do squats. And those four exercises form like a circuit. And I'll take a brief break between each circuit. And in the meanwhile, while I'm resting, I'll be doing the light or no weight exercises.
I think that's exciting. I think it's an exciting way to train. And I think our bodies are really benefiting by the effort what we're putting in. I think that's excellent. That's a nice combination you just described, especially with the shoulder shrugs. How did you hurt your shoulder? Do you recall any specific movement you were involved in?
I'm learning how to do new things. So I was doing mace training. And the mace is like an axe or a hammer. It's weighed more on one side than the other side. So like a dumbbell has the same amount of weight on each side, so you're pretty centered, or a barbell. Here the weight would be on one side but not on the other side. So I wasn't using heavy poundages because I'm prone to shoulder injuries, so I need to watch that. So I've been very careful, but I think I overdid it because I was enjoying doing I would do some with mace spells, some with Indian clubs, some with the makeshift I created with my dumbbell sets and with kettlebells and you name it. And I was sticking light, like I was sticking mostly like with pounds for the variety of exercises. And when it's uneven, you target different muscles and you get a different burn. And I could see the difference fairly quickly in terms of my cuts. But too much because I was enthused and I just injured my shoulder. So for like a week, I had a shoulder from my chin, the side of my jaw, actually, on the left side, going down the neck, onto the trap, onto the shoulder, and like halfway down my arm, most of my upper arm. And it hurt. I couldn't get away from the pain by meditating or doing anything else. So finally, by doing shoulder therapy exercises with very light weight. I was able to get rid of the pain, like I say, 95% of it. So the rest is bearable. And I've been doing the therapy like every other day. I don't want to overdo it with the therapy too, because I'll just re-aggravate it.
Yes, yes. Do you think it's basically a rotator cuff or some other kind of damage in a different area? What do you think was most effective?
I believe it hit a nerve, because the when I got enough of it relaxed or worked through the light weights and the high repetitions, it started traveling. So I believe I pinched the nerve, because nothing seems ripped or broken, I didn't really pull any tendons that I could see or feel, but the pain was pretty intense for a while. So again, I'm not going to give up exercising. I'm going to take it easy with it until this problem is gone. And I went from doing like relatively moderate weights to now doing light weights for the shoulders, because, again, and even the shoulder that I can use, I'm doing lighter weights for that shoulder. This way they're not uneven.
Well, I think that's wise anyway, to move forward in that direction. You mentioned something a few moments ago that struck a chord with me, that you began to notice with your mace training, the definition, the styrations, how they develop, or which is something you hadn't seen previously. It reminds me of what Larry Scott. Larry Scott used to say, that the first Mr. Olympia, he always used to talk about how just changing the angle of an exercise or moving a bench in a certain way, you can see the difference in your physique, and it doesn't take all that long.
No.
So when you mentioned that, that's in his training courses, he used to emphasize that. We're not talking about fancy equipment here. Just changing an angle of the way you exercise, or a movement, or moving a bench a certain way, and you can notice almost immediately the difference in your physique in terms of styrations and what have you. So that's what that reminded me of when you made that comment.
I also picked for this month, my Herculean mentor is Nigel Green, because Nigel Green wasn't a bodybuilder, unlike most of the Hercules and other muscle men in the Sword and Sandal movies, but you believed he was Hercules. He carried it on attitude alone. So that's something that is something to contemplate and something to try to emulate, having the musculature is wonderful, but he carried off being Hercules without it, maybe the musculature is not as necessary as we believe it is. And if you look at the ancient depictions of Hercules, they didn't have bodybuilders then like they have now. So he looked like a regular, person. And yet he had that presence. So this month, that's what I'm thinking about a lot, and trying to see how that can transform my workouts and my perceptions and so forth.
Well, he definitely had that warrior persona. He carried off the role extremely well. And he just presented that image in the right way. And I agree with you. I mean, the muscularity wasn't necessarily there, but he had that war. You sensed strength as you watched him.
Yes.
You sensed strength, and you really felt like he was Hercules. So I know exactly what you're describing. I felt the same way when I was watching him.
And it's something to think about. Like Alan Steele, who's one of my favorites. Alan Steele has a happy-go-luckiness about him. That's the best way I could describe it. So he did an excellent job with Hercules. And it was, he was muscular. He was a bodybuilder. But it wasn't his bodybuilding that helped him carry the role. It's the attitude he had. He had like a joy in life that came across very powerfully. Reg Park, he had the whole thing that he's the most powerful person, so he can take naps in the middle of disasters.
That's right.
And that's
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, it was a different attitude from Nigel Green and Alan Steele, for instance. It was a totally different thing. But that, too, something to think about, that, that again, the muscles are great and they certainly had them. But maybe being heroic is something more than having the muscles and doing deeds that require a lot of difficulty and labor.
At the end of the day, it's that inner hero. It's that mm-hmm. champion within us. And you could be very muscular, but not be exude that confidence. But
right.
in the case of Nigel Green, and you're correct, Alan Steele had that. He had that certain. It was that the hero within came forth
mm-hmm.
in a very positive way. And so you're right. In most of his movies, in all of his movies that I've seen, that imagery was there. So it's obviously it was part of his personality, if you will, because yes, in all of his films, that positiveness was there. That warrior, you just felt it was there, and it was a happiness.
Yes,
it was a happiness to his image.
Like he was where he was, and he loved being where he was, doing what he's doing, and that's a refreshing
exactly.
thing. Especially in the world we live in, where many people don't love where they are and what they're doing, and want to be someplace else. So he seemed perfectly content to be where he was.
Absolutely, you know, until one's really involved, discussing, you know, the construction of our physiques, and as the years go by and we get older, at times we could become even more enthused, and we turn to what we know, the mythologies, the classical physique, and the heroes that we're discussing in the sword and sandal genre. I mean, all of this contributes to us sustaining ourselves, if you will. And unless you're really involved in this, you could never know how good it really feels once
right.
you put your focus on these heroes and on these films. One could never understand completely how good it really feels when we leave the material world that surrounds us and go back what helped to mold who we are, which are the mythologies and the sword and sandal epics that we grew up with.
Yes, most certainly so. Those movies have great meaning for me. In where I'm sitting now in my area where I do the show, there are Greek statues, there are American action figures in plastic, there are paintings in frames, and there are photographs from the Peplum films all over the place. Yeah, every inch is covered with some sort of item that motivates me. And when I work out, I could see these items as well. I could pop on a movie into the DVD player. I fill my world with these mythic images, and they fuel me and they motivate me and they excite me and they inspire me.
You know, something that's your fortress of solitude, but also
yep.
your fortress of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fortress of solitude and creativity. That's who you really are. That's who you really are within the confines of that imagery. That's the champion within, and that's what we're all pursuing. So I think that's wonderful. I don't have my new living area quite up to that standard yet, but I hope to get there.
You
because
will.
Because it's all that energy and that influence is so great. It's so great. It just continues to mold and refine who we intended to become in our lives. So it's so important. But I think that's wonderful that you do have all of that imagery surrounding you, because it enhances the warrior and the champion within. And again, unless you've been there, you could never know how good that really feels once you enter your fortress and you begin your training, both physically as well as spiritually.
when we lived in Pennsylvania about a decade ago, before we had to leave Pennsylvania, we came up here. I had a home gym, and I had lots of equipment and lots of weights. I got it either inexpensively or free, because people are always buying gym equipment, and then it sits and collects dust, and they like hang their socks on it, and then finally decide to get rid of it. So I would keep my eyes on like the free cycles, and I look at signs in supermarkets. So I had two universal machines. I had a leg press machine. I had two benches, one of them with a squat rack. And it used to take up like half the basement, but it was like my own gym. I had music down there. I had a TV. I used to love working out. I could work out whenever I wanted to for as long as I wanted to. That hasn't been in my reality for 10 years. But I'm hoping at some point in the future that the reality will shift to allow me to start gathering up a gym again, because that was the best feeling in the world, you know, to go and there's all your equipment, and upstairs to have a blender where I can make my protein shake.
Everything was available to you.
Yes, everything was available to me. So now I work out with dumbbells and kettlebells and D-bells and X3, and you know, because I have a lot less space with my weights. My wife tells me, though, that the way I have the weight set up, even though it doesn't take up that much of the room, she's afraid the floor will crash and go down to the first floor because I got so much weights piled there.
Well, you know, our lives change, and sometimes our living environment changes. But, you know, there's that old saying, too, you really you don't need much to create an impressive body. End of the day, you really don't need that much. The gym you're describing sounds like a wonderful inspiration, if you will. You really don't need that much to create an impressive body. And with your kettlebells and your X3, and the isometrics, which I believe are very important. I know I still work with your bull worker, and there's no question that when you're doing reps with the bull worker, both isometric and isotonic, you really get a terrific pump, and it's only one piece of exercise equipment and a set of dumbbells, whether it be a 25-pound dumbbells, and if you have a bench. I don't have a bench right now, unfortunately. But I do have an ab roller. And with the ab roller, what I can do is I can do push-ups on it, you know, and do some deep push-ups. So you know what? And then I can also turn around and I can do my tricep dips. So I'm making the best. I'm making the best of what's available to me.
Yeah, I do the Atlas exercises. I do I have a Hercules twister. I used to have a bullworker years ago. I got in contact with the bullworker people, and it's taking a while, but they'll eventually be on the show. I do transformatrics. I don't know if you're familiar with that system. Johnny Peterson, I believe his name is. He had a very huge physique, and he didn't use weights at all. It was all body weight, and he showed you how he did it. And now he's in his 70s. So he's no longer as bulky, but he's still very muscular. So I've been communicating with him. He's going to come on the show at some point. But you're right. You don't need the weights. You could. I know using my imagination, when I don't have weights and I'm on the road, I'll bring hand grips with me. But all you have to do is imagine lifting the weight, and your body will go along with it and give you the tension that you need when you're pretending. But the weights are, it's like the protein shake. I don't know how much good the protein shake actually does to me, but it's so much a part of my bodybuilding adventure that even if it's a placebo, I feel great after having that protein shake.
Well, you know what? Yeah, it's all part of it. It's all part of the activity. It's all part of the journey in terms of physical development. And, I mean, you're right. Don't get me wrong. I think sometimes just looking at my dumbbells when I'm not feeling motivated, and I see that, and I'm sure this has happened to you many times, I'm looking at that 10-pound set of dumbbells on the floor, and I'm looking at it for about 15 minutes. That's enough to get me up. So once it's part of your spirit, it just is. So the weights are great, but there's so much you can do with freehand exercises. and in terms of refining your physique and conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already doing circuit work, and I've just begun it again. And I'll tell you, when you're done, you really feel as though you've accomplished something in terms of physical development. Your body's
yes.
responding. You have a pump. You've developed a pump, and it works. It really does work.
Oh, it certainly does work, and I've opened myself up to better gym equipment. Don't know where I'll put it yet, but the other day we were in a Salvation Army or a Goodwill. I don't remember what it was, but it was one of those two, and I saw a kettlebell, 35 pounds for $5.99.
Wow.
That's not my kettlebell, so I have it at home now. So I'm keeping my eyes open. People leave things out on curbs to get rid of them. There's thrift stores. Like I remember in Pennsylvania, I got my leg press machine for I think $5 because it wasn't assembled, and the Salvation Army or the Goodwill didn't know what it was. So I looked at it and immediately I knew here's an incline leg press. So I got it for $5. And I assembled it when I got home. I had a weight plate, so I was able to do really great leg workouts on it. So just keeping my eyes open, and who knows what I'll spot. But so far, the 35-pound kettlebell, that's the latest treasure in that quest.
That's a buy. That is definitely a buy. Absolutely, because I think I have two 35-pound kettlebells here, and I know I paid over $100 for both of them
yes.
with the shipping. I think I ordered them from a company called Dragon Door, Dragon Door, D-O-O-R. And they were pioneering kettlebells about 15 years ago at the time. And so they could be expensive. So that's a real bargain. That's a real bargain.
I used to, years ago, when I had my podcast in Pennsylvania, I used to interview folks from Dragon Door. I had Ori Huffmeckler, who did the Warrior Diet, and mm-hmm. I interviewed other people from Dragon Door. And I used to be a Dragon Door affiliate for a while, where I really liked the quality of their products. So I used to do advertising for my website and for my e-radio show. But I contacted them recently when I restarted, a few years ago, when I restarted mm-hmm. the podcasting. They didn't seem as interested now as they did back then in, getting the authors interviewed or anything.
I think the gentleman's name was, his last name was Pavel, P-A-V-E-L.
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah, Pavel, he's still by that name, and he had a course called The Naked Warrior, which was, again, how to build super strength, doing some simple, body exercises, simple calisthenic type of exercises, and you get really, really strong. They required more balance than I had mm-hmm. once you got past a certain point, but they were certainly very powerful body weight exercises.
I did see those books advertised. I didn't purchase any of them, but they looked quite thorough in what they were presenting in terms of the exercises and the movements.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see them. He did put one out that I was interested in called Beyond Bodybuilding. Were you did you familiarize yourself with that one at all?
I have that. I have that one. It's in a box now in the basement. I was going through my box. I'm trying to. I'm giving away a lot of my books, so some of them are keeping. That's one of the keep books. And, I still have Beyond Bodybuilding. I still have Naked Warrior. I have the Naked Warrior DVD. And I had another one that Pavel did as well.
Mm-hmm. They look like they're very informative and that you can learn
yeah.
some new things.
Yeah, they were certifying people. They started early with the kettlebells, and they were certifying
mm-hmm.
the to be kettlebell
yes.
instructors.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mace.
Go ahead.
They were Mace training as well.
No, the Mace training, the people who brought it to this country, especially Mr. Mace Man himself, Rick Brown,
mm-hmm.
He started out as a kettlebell instructor, certified kettlebell instructor, and then he found the maces, and now he's certifying people to use the mace.
I see. That's interesting.
It's a growing hobby. There's on Amazon, there's all sorts of mace things you can get. I got from my shoulder rehabilitation 1 pound kettlebells. They really, really healed my shoulder. Again, it's not totally healed yet, but they healed my shoulder within a very short period of time. Whereas if I used like even 1 pound dumbbells or 2 pound dumbbells, it usually takes a lot longer to heal the shoulder.
Well, you know, I it's funny you should say that because I'll share this briefly. Frank Zane talks about filling the muscle with blood. Frank always believed, he believes in the higher reps, both in terms of, and he was injured. He had quite a few injuries, and he talks about that in his interviews. But he talks about the lighter weight, you know, 6 reps, you're just getting started. You're really not even pumping the blood into the muscle, so to speak. But he talks about 12 to 15 reps to achieve classical development and to begin to get to that area where you know you're developing a pump, you're enhancing a pump. And he feels as though there's no question about it. A lighter weight but higher reps is the way to go, whether it be healing injuries or refining your physique. And next time, perhaps we can get into some of that. But some of the golden age exercises, if you will, that are some are so enamored with, I don't approve of. I used to do behind the neck press with the barbell. I think that's a dangerous exercise. I think the deadlift is useless. I've never believed in deadlifts. I don't know what the attraction is. But in some future programs, maybe we can delve more deeply into that because I think it is an area worth discussing. But Frank believes in you have to get the pump. You have to pump blood into that muscle no matter what your goals are. Whether it be healing or physical development, you have to get the pump. And 12 to 15 reps is the way to go. And beyond that, if you're able.
I'm currently doing 12 by 12. I'm doing 12 sets of 12 reps, and I'm pyramiding it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go up in increments of like 2.5 or 5 pounds, whatever I happen to have, until I can't do 12 reps. And then I'll go backwards, you know, so I'll do like a pyramid. Sometimes it's even, sometimes I'll get a lot farther and then I'll only have to do backwards a couple of sets. But I find that helps a lot, that system.
I think that's definitely a very positive system. And I think you'll achieve positive results from it.
I think I will too. And I want to thank you. We only have like a couple of minutes left. How can people contact you again? How can they get involved in all the great things you're doing?
Well, they can write to me at Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And they can write to me for prayer work, or they can write to me in terms of if they're dealing with a physical challenge. By all means, work with people, create a program for them, diet and exercise, depending on what they're dealing with. And it's Michael Del Rossi. All of this is free. Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. I do have my Creative Health Manual, which I think is a superb, provides a superb foundation into integrative medicine. That's only $3 a copy. And they can send a check or money order to the same post office box, 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And I think it's worth the investment. It's a great program.
It is a great program. And, of course, it is very affordable, and you get a lot of bang for your buck, and you're supporting a good cause. Michael, thank you again. I always look forward to our conversations. I'm already looking forward to our next one. I wish you the greatest of success in all your endeavors, and I'm looking forward to talking to you soon.
You also. Thank you, and thank you to the audience. It's wonderful being here.
And on that note, good night, everyone. Have a wonderful day and have a wonderful week.